Well, this is our second week in the series about prayer, and I just felt like that was a really good setup to our talk tonight, and we'll come back to that story in a minute. But tonight, for me, this whole concept of prayer and why God doesn't answer prayer is particularly personal to me. I have an instance in my life that I go back to specifically. I can think very specifically of a time in my life where I prayed for something big, and God didn't answer the prayer. Not to say that he didn't answer the prayer, but he didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted him to. With great clarity, I recall a time as a teenager in our youth group. We prayed for this woman in our church who had cancer, and we prayed that God would heal her. And she had three boys. Two of them were in the youth group. One of them was in the children's ministry, and we gathered around those two boys. We laid hands on them, and we prayed. I mean, we prayed just with all we had for God to heal their mom of this cancer. And, you know, I really believed with all my heart that God was going to answer that prayer. I think the rest of our youth group, I think her boys believed with all our hearts that God was going to answer that prayer and say yes. And he didn't. He didn't answer our prayers in the way that we'd hoped that he would. And it was hard for her boys to take that. She did end up passing away from cancer. It was hard for our youth group. It was hard for our church. And it was particularly difficult for me. That was my first instance of praying and feeling like God kind of disappointed me, you know, at least as a Christian. I had prayed a lot as a kid, not really understanding that. But as a Christian, that was the first time I really prayed for God to do something. And it was like kind of just wondering, why, God, why didn't you answer our prayers? Did we not pray enough? Did we not use the right words? Were we not loud enough? Was there somebody in the group that lacked faith? Because if so, we will find him. We will take him out back. And we will do what we need to, and then we'll get back together and we'll pray again, you know, without him. Why, God, didn't you answer our prayer? Why does it seem as though God doesn't answer our prayers sometimes? That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I would think the odds are pretty good that at some point in your life, if I had you raise your hand, we could all say that we've prayed for something and God didn't answer it the way we wanted him to, right? Would you nod and say, yeah, that's probably happened to me. Now, it may not be to the level of praying for someone, you know, someone's mom to be healed of cancer. I mean, I think about, we prayed for your teacher, and that was a great example of where God did answer our prayers, you know? But you've probably prayed for something, prayed hard, and God didn't answer the way you wanted him to. Perhaps he didn't answer at all. Maybe it was like God was just silent on the matter. Well, we've all been there at some point, and if we haven't, you will definitely be there eventually. You'll have a moment like that. And when it comes to prayer, there are several factors, I think, that matter to God. When it comes to our life and in connection with how we pray and our prayer life. And so I want to point out tonight five things. And we're going to kind of go through these pretty quick. Not going to spend a lot of lengthy time on any one thing. But five factors that I think, things that God cares about when it comes to our life and prayer. They are specific areas of our life that we need to consider when it comes to praying. Now, let me preface this by saying that what I'm about to say, I'm not saying that if you don't have your life all together and that everything's not perfect and all worked out and you're in right standing with God in every aspect of your life, that he won't answer your prayers. Because I'm sure somewhere, sometime, somebody whose life was all messed up, you know, who was living in sin, they prayed. I mean, I can think of examples in my own life where I wasn't really living for God and I prayed and God answered my prayer. The exact opposite of this is true, though, too. Like, you could have your life completely all together, as best to be living as best as you could possibly live, and God may not answer your prayer the way you want him to. So I just feel like it's important to point that out before we get into this, because I don't want to make you think that if your life is messed up, then you can't pray, and if God doesn't answer your prayers, then that must mean your life is messed up. So just want to clear that up. So five things to consider. First thing is, make that stinking thing go away. I keep forgetting to make it so that'll go away. But anywho, our relationships matter. If you have your Bible and you want to look with us, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Huh? Sure. Verse 24 through 25. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So when it comes to our prayer life, it matters to God whether or not we have right relationships. Our relationships matter to Him. Whether we've forgiven other people. If you're holding something against somebody, that matters to God. If we haven't forgiven someone else or we have broken relationships, God is concerned about that, and He wants us to mend those relationships. It's important that we mend those and that we offer forgiveness so that we can be forgiven. I mean, think about, maybe you don't have a situation like this in your life right now, but try, maybe you do. Is there someone in your life right now that you know you haven't forgiven? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and tell us your story, but think about that. If you have someone, or think about, maybe there's, it's not necessarily that you haven't forgiven them, but there's a broken relationship that you have in your life right now. And I'm not talking about your boy Gage. You broke up with him, that doesn't count. You know, we're good with that. But maybe there's somebody in your life of a relationship that you have that's broken. God wants you to take care of that, to deal with that, to mend that relationship. You may not be the best of friends. You may not go on a date with Sean again. You may not hang out, you know, whatever. Do what? He might wrap you his mixtape, you know, and that would not be good. But if there's a broken relationship, you need to fix that. Work on fixing that. I would take it a step farther and say, if you have had a season in your life where you haven't been growing spiritually, where maybe your relationship with Christ has plateaued or it's kind of stale and stagnant, it could be because you have a broken relationship. It could be because you're withholding forgiveness from somebody else. God wants us to clear those matters up. Sorry, excuse me. Our relationships matter to God. Second one. Our motives matter to God. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So this is, I think, pretty critical when it comes to prayer. If you are asking with the wrong motives, if we're constantly praying with selfish motives, then why would we expect God to answer our prayers? If you pray for money, for the sake of having more money, or if you pray for success for the sake of wanting to be successful so people can look at you and say, look at them, they're awesome. You pray for popularity, or you pray for have lots of friends, or that's kind of the same thing, I guess, or something like that, and the motives are false, the motives are selfish, then why would God answer? Maybe you pray for lots of money and you're greedy. Why would God give you that? Like the guy in the video talking about that. I think that's kind of, he wanted his friends to know Christ, but at the same time, there was some weird motives in that. Of yes, he wants them to know Jesus, but yeah, he's kind of almost like that testing of the Lord type thing. You know, if you let me jump over this, this is how we'll prove that God is real. And there's just something not quite right in that. You know, I think about for myself, I had to catch myself on this from time to time. You know, I've prayed for our youth ministry to grow or for our church to grow. And I want that to happen because I want more people to know Jesus. But there's kind of this tension sometimes to want that so that we have a big youth group, so lots of people will show up. Or so that we have a bigger church, so more people will give money. And you know, Nathan and I, we can have bigger paychecks, you know, and that. You know, and I mean, those are not necessarily bad things. Quiet you, cheap seats. You know, but those aren't necessarily bad things, but praying for those in that way, that's the wrong motive. You know, I've prayed many times that the place where they store my loan information for my student loans, I pray that those buildings would like burn down and they would lose all their files, you know, like the computers would be completely destroyed and they wouldn't have any of it backed up on the iCloud, so that like they would not even know I exist anymore and I wouldn't owe them any more money. God has yet to actually answer that prayer, although...
Just go off the grid.
And that's what I need to do. I just need to. What do they call that when you like don't follow the rules of the government anymore? You like, you emancipate yourself essentially from the government or whatever. You're just like, I'm like a new America, you know, or whatever.
Domestic terror.
Basically, yeah. What'd you say? Oh, this is my favorite. My favorite. Oh. Yes, sovereign. That's what I was thinking of. Yes, sovereign nation. Yeah, I'm going to start my own sovereign nation. Thank you, dictionary. Thank you, Webster.
It was actually recently in government, so.
Nice. Well, that's what we're going to start our own sovereign nation here. You know, but that would be getting back on track here. That would be probably illegal and just totally wrong motives. You know, it needs to be about Jesus in that matter. You know, Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them. Have you ever felt like your ways are right? Like you still like, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, all our ways always seem right to us. But motives are weighed by the Lord, it says. Number three, how we live, how you live matters to God. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I love that last part. The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. This is huge. And I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. You have to have it all together for God to answer your prayers. But there is this idea that it matters how we live. I mean, take for example, if you're going to give money to somebody, say you had some money and you knew somebody who needed money and you're going to give it to them. And you got two options. You got guy A and guy B. And guy A, he is lazy. He turns down jobs left and right. He sits at home on the couch all day and plays his Xbox. And he, you know, which is not a bad thing, but, you know, all day might be a little excessive. And he, you know, he spends all his money that he has on beer, and he doesn't take care of his family, he doesn't take care of his kids. He's really irresponsible, and he's just a pretty difficult kind of guy to deal with. Or guy B, who works really hard, he has two jobs, every dime he has he spends, you know, on paying his bills and taking care of his kids, and unfortunately he just got behind a little bit, you know, wasn't able to pay some bills because he, you know, got behind on him and needs some help. I mean, if you had the choice between guy A and guy B, who are you likely going to give money to? Yeah, I think that's kind of a no-brainer, unless we just enjoy putting money in a pile and lighting it on fire and saying, see ya, you know, I mean, do what? You're not Justin Bieber? Well, that just goes to show Justin Bieber is, again, dumb. Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. You're going to give your money to guy B. How we live makes a difference. You know, this is an area of life where I think many, many people fall into a trap. And the trap is that we think we can live however we want, and then we'll just pray for God to get us out of it. You know, whatever happens, the consequences, whatever, you know, trouble we get in, you know, as long as we can pray for God to deliver us, everything will be fine. You know, we party and we drink a lot, or, you know, we lie, or we cheat, or we steal, or, you know, and we just expect God to take care of it in the end. You know, we'll just pray that God would deliver us from that, he would save us from it, and we'll be fine. But the thing is there's this principle at work in our world. You know, the idea of reaping and sowing, and we will reap what we sow. There will be consequences to how we live our life. And so, for example, if you drink all your life, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have liver problems one day. And when that day comes, it's going to be a little too late to begin to pray for God to provide you with a miracle cure. I mean, you're kind of, not to say that he wouldn't cure you, but odds are it's a little late. You know, you smoke three packs of cigarettes a day, you're probably going to get cancer. Or what's the other one? Maybe emphysema, maybe
COPD.
You know, it's a pretty good chance you're going to have those things, and it will probably be too late to pray for God to heal you. You know, if you sleep around a lot, you might get a disease. You might get pregnant. And again, it's going to be a little late to start praying for God to get you out of that mess. You know, not that any of you smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, Faith. I know you need to cut back. If you could cut it back down to 2, that would be good. You know. But we can't live however we want and expect God to just, you know, fix it for us. We reap what we sow. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." So how we live matters. Fourth one, your faith matters. Your faith makes a difference. James 1:6-7 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." We have to believe that God can actually do what he says he can do. That he can actually answer our prayers. That if we pray for God to heal somebody, we got to believe that God can heal him. If we pray for God to deliver somebody, we got to believe that he can actually do that. If we don't believe and we're praying, what's the point, you know? What's the point of even praying those things if we don't believe that God can actually do them? I heard a great story about this little girl who had poison ivy. And she had poison ivy really bad, like head to toe for a couple days. And finally her parents take her to the doctor. And they give her this cream or whatever to put on her skin. And doctor says, you know, 4 to 7 days, you'll see some, you know, it's going to start to clear up or whatever. And mom and dad take the little girl home, and they get home, and she's just like out of the blue says, "God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me of this. I'm going to be fine. No worries." And the dad is kind of like, "Well, yeah. You use this medicine and God's going to heal you." And she's like, "No, daddy, you don't understand. God is going to heal me." And he's like, not one to crush her spirit, you know, not one to, you know, she's really faithful and just a little kid, and you know how they are. They kind of believe everything, so you don't want to, like, crush her spirit. And he's like, "Yes, honey, you're right. God is going to heal you. It just may take a few days." And so she goes to bed, and the very next day she gets up, and she just comes running out into the kitchen where her mom and dad are. She's completely naked, and she's jumping around. She says, "Look at me, look at me." And they're like, "Oh my gosh, crazy kid, put some clothes on, you know." She's like, no, look at me. And she was completely healed of poison ivy in just one day. You know, and I think that most of the time we want to believe that God does those things, but we're kind of like, he doesn't really do those things to me. That sort of stuff doesn't happen in my life. You know, God does that for somebody, but not for me. You know, we need to believe that God can really do what he says he can do, that we have faith to believe that he can do these things. And if we pray for him to heal somebody or to deliver somebody or pray for forgiveness or for whatever, that God can actually do it. Last one. God's will matters. God's will matters. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Something we have to remember is that God has a will, and a lot of the time, it's not our will. Our will is different than God's will. In fact, I would say probably majority of the time, our will is very different than God's will. It says in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has a different plan than we have. And we need to pray that God would help us to, our will would begin to line up with his will. Not his will lining up with our will, but our will lining up with his will. And I mean, think of this, for example, 9/11. How many of you were actually alive when 9/11 happened? All of you, right? Okay, how old were you?
One.
One, so really little. Jeez. You don't really remember, probably.
Yeah,
9/11 was an incredible tragedy. I mean, without a doubt, probably the greatest tragedy that I know in my generation, in my lifetime. Not that I've been alive that long, but I mean, that I can recall, that is the most defining tragedy that I've experienced. I mean, people talk about remembering when Kennedy was shot and other things like that. For me, that's the thing that sticks out. I remember exactly where I was when 9/11 happened. I was in sixth grade, and just finished taking the I-STEP test, sitting in Linda Coe's English class. She was, for whatever reason, the teacher that did my class. I don't know why I was in her class for I-STEPs, but that's where I took my I-STEPs.
You kind of been in sixth grade.
I was a sophomore.
You were a sophomore.
But we had taken, we were taking.
Okay, that's what it was. That's what it was. Sorry, I was thinking sixth grade because when I was, well, I went, hold on, before you hate, in my defense, when I was in sixth grade, it was in the exact same location as where I was. My sixth grade class was in the high school in the English hallway, and that, so cut me some slack, I misremembered. It's been a few years, all right? I misremembered. I was in high school. My bad. I was a freshman in high school. Would have been. So, thank you for... Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for helping me out there. My bad. All right. Let it go. Hey, let it go. It's not that big of a deal. Let me finish my story. 9/11 happened. It's a horrible tragedy. No one would wish that on anybody. You wouldn't pray for that to happen, you know. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, touche. But, you know, God used that to bring a lot of people to himself. You know, that was a horrible, horrible thing that God used to bring people back to the church. They talk about, you know, statistically that the church attendance was huge following 9/11 all over the United States. You know, and I'm not saying that that was God's will, because I believe with all my heart that was not God's will, but that God used that situation. His will was brought out of that evil, if that makes any sense. You know, another example would be like the loss of a loved one. You know, I don't believe that that's God's will either, but that God uses those situations to bring good things in your life. We have someone in our church right now that I heard just like within a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, a testimony of where they just lost a loved one in their family, and God is using that situation to bring them closer to God. They've seen total change in members of their family, all because, you know, God is using that to, huh?
So that's what happened to Sonny.
Yeah. You know, God's will is sometimes different than our will, and he uses different things to bring people to himself. So these five areas are not guarantees that God's going to answer your prayer. I want to make that clear. But this is a really, really good place to start. If we begin to work in these areas, it's not a recipe to make your wildest dreams come true, you know. I think I was thinking of, how many have seen Napoleon Dynamite? You know, when Pedro's talking about, like, if you vote for me, I'll make all your wildest dreams come true. You know, this is not that. You know, it's not a recipe to have, you know, your wildest dreams come true. But it is the place to start in the hopes that you would begin to have an honest relationship with God. That you would have an honest relationship with God that's going to help you grow in Christ. And sometimes there are going to be things in our heart that we need to take care of, that we need to deal with, some areas of our life that need to be fixed. We have unbelievable access to great power and amazing things through the power of prayer. And sometimes we miss out on that because we have a lack of faith, or because our motives are wrong, or because we want our will and not God's will, or because our relationships are broken down, or, you know, because we're living for us and not for God. The goal here is not to turn God into a genie where we rub the lamp and he's going to give us our three wishes, but to grow in Christ. Through prayer, the hope here is that we will tap into the power and the potential and the love that comes from a life devoted to God through prayer. I really believe with all my heart that prayer changes things, that it changes our circumstances, it changes our world, makes a difference in the lives of other people and in our life. And so we need to become desperate for God. We need to begin to chase after Him in our lives. And I think that that chasing begins when we devote ourselves to prayer and we devote ourselves to reading His Word. The more we pray, the more we listen for His voice, and the more we make sure that we've got right motives, that we remain faithful, that we live for Him, that we have right relationships, the more we submit ourselves to Him, the more we're going to see God begin to change our lives and to change the lives around us. So let's pray, and then we'll go down and I don't know what we'll do. I haven't decided yet. We'll do something fun.
Oh, pray for Miss Howe. She got cancer. And
Miss Howe?
Miss Howe.
Oh.
She got
Benita?
Cancer. No.
At your school?
Oh, okay. I was going to say. I would think that would have been in the prayer list.
Yeah. Yeah. It should have come up by now.
So yeah.
She got email.
Okay.
And she got surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, our German teacher has cancer. She'll be out until like March. So,
okay. Anybody else?
She got wine, so.